Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status. Big XL. Sam Caesar, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ AKTF dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause he ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop. Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Caesar, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ AKTF dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. Underground, staying down, cause he ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop. Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Caesar, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ AKTF dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. Underground, staying down, cause he ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop. Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Caesar, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ AKTF dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status.
What up, what up, what up, what up? What up, world? It's your boy, Big XL. This is the Ride and Dirty Show. What we bitch got between hip-hop and everyday life, man. I just want to give y'all a little teaser of what we got coming up. All right, now, before we get too deep into it, man, I got to let you know one time for the good people over at WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta. Please check us out every Thursday night, Friday morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Please check us out. We've been holding down the spot overnight for over 15-plus years. Also, man, we partnered up. Last year, we partnered up with Live 365 and launched our very own internet radio station, Ride 95. Now, let me let you know how to access our station. It's very easy. All you got to do is go to Live365.com. Once you go to Live365.com, type in the words Ride 95. That's R-I-D-E, the number 9, the number 5. Click on that station logo, and you hear our station. You have music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. What up, BJ? Now, if you want to check us out via your mobile device, it's also just as easy. All you got to do is go download the Live 365 app. Once you download that app, I got a little glare. Once you download that app, then go to that search engine. There's over 200 radio stations in that search engine. All right? Go to that search engine. Type in Ride 95. Click on that station logo, and voila. You'll have it. Music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. All right, man, I got some new lighting in the studio, and God damn it, it looks like interrogation lights in here, but it's okay. I promise to tell the truth. I didn't do it. All right, ladies and boys and girls, you know what we do here. This is a platform for artists, entertainers, entrepreneurs, people who have a story to come and tell their story. And today is no different than any other day on the Ride and Dirty Radio Show. So, ladies and boys and girls, welcome. I repeat, welcome. To the podcast, whatever you want to call it. Welcome to the show, singer, Mr. Antonio Blue. What's going on, my G?
Hey, what's up, baby? How you doing, my brother? How you doing, baby?
Man, maintaining. The first thing I got to do is I want to start by saying I humbly appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk to you today and allowing me to introduce the people that check out this platform, introduce them to you and your music.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, too, man, for all you do for us.
All right, man, so let's get into it. The first thing I want you to do is let the world know where Antonio Blue is from.
Oh yeah, I'm from Portland, Oregon, America, with Nigerian roots. So I'm part Nigerian, part American. So, you know, best of both worlds here. I'm a representative of Nigeria, but I'm born in Portland, Oregon.
Okay. Did you growing up, did you spend any time in Nigeria, or are your parents from Nigeria?
My family is from Nigeria. Yeah, so growing up, I spent a lot of time in the U.S. just traveling from state to state. So I pretty much been everywhere in the United States of America. You could pretty name, you know, I'm reformed and pretty much just like a preacher, you know, now, but. You know, when I was in, you know, running fast, I participated and ran through many cities, you know, and met a lot of big guys. So I'm well loved in America, you know. So as I got older and I went through so much stuff, I kind of found my roots about 10 years ago in Nigeria. And then so within the last 5 years, I've really been coming closer to my family there, and pretty confident in my next step going there, and still, you know, keeping my citizenship here. So, you know, best of both worlds, representing both, you know.
Okay. All right. So look, what was your introduction to music? What made you realize that you had a talent for music?
Growing up, I was up under like some preacher. My mother was a preacher and my father was a Marine. So, you know, we were doing a lot of traveling, and during church, you know, that's when I was singing. But when they discovered that I could sing real good, and they started pushing me, pushing my talent, and So I had vocal lessons growing up and all that, and I was involved in the church. So I just end up, you know, just idolizing, you know, some great people like Michael Jackson, Prince, Stevie Wonder, David Ruffin. So, you know, I knew I wanted to go that route. So that's what really kind of like led me in that direction, is seeing those guys.
Okay. Now, growing up in the household of a preacher and a Marine, what was that like, especially on the discipline side of things?
It was strict. That's why I kind of got my position and my status now. What separates me from a lot of other people in my generation is I have the discipline. So that's where, that's why you see I have good manners and discipline. I'm no different than anybody else. I grew up in the hood, went astray. You know, but my parents were strict for the first, like, 14 years of my life. So it kind of gave me, you know, some skills that I strayed away from, you know. So I had to get back to that, you know. So growing up with them was both educational, because they were older. So I was adopted. So, you know, they were old people. So they were trying to hurry up and fill me with information before they passed away, you know. So, and you know, Marine is good for that. So that's kind of what happened.
Okay. All right. Now you speak on being adopted. What was it like for you, especially once you finally got placed into a home?
Well, I don't know anything else. I was adopted immediately. You know, I guess my father, my people who adopted me, they were already in the government, you know, and they knew my biological parents and knew the struggle, and so they immediately adopted me, immediately 3 days old, because my father, he and my mother weren't fit at that time. So it was a lot, like, at that time was incarceration and, you know, and, you know, and so I was taken anyway. And then I guess they made the arrangement with my adoptive parents, you know. So I didn't even really know anything. I didn't know anything other. I thought they were my real parents up until I got older and I started, you know, acting a little wild, which that wasn't like them, because they were like humanity people. And then now I'm, as I got older, my DNA coming out, and I'm starting to be like a little hoodlum, you know, and even though I wasn't raised like that. So that was like, you know, the whole, like, where do I come from? So then I found out my whole story on my DNA is like, we come from the struggle. So that's why we really couldn't be there for each other like that, because it was a lot of drugs and gang banging and pimping and prostitution and all that type of stuff going on in my biological family. So, you know, it was the best route was to give me up for adoption, you know, and it worked, because now, you know, I'm a mentor, I'm a counselor, I help, I'm a teacher, and I'm not a hater. You know, like, I didn't, instead of me being mad that I didn't get this opportunity younger, I just got to the point where I say I'm going to be a teacher and help the next person, you know, younger than me, become the great, you know, because they didn't let me be, so I'm not going to be like them, because I don't like them. So that's how I'm going to teach the next generation, is like, you know, if you don't like somebody, don't carry on their traditional bull BS, you know, so.
Okay. Feel me? All right. Now, were you able to ever reconnect with your birth parents?
Yeah. It was another sad part of my story, because right when I started getting back cool, you know, because like I said, 14, that's when I started acting out, and the parents started passing away anyway. And so I had my adoptive dad, But I was acting out because he was like a, you know, corporate America guy, you know. And then so, you know, I ran back and I found my family. But my mother had, you know, she had just, she, right when I came back, she get end up getting killed by like a older woman was driving drunk, not drunk driving, but just driving, wasn't supposed to be driving, and ran a red light and accidentally murdered. And this was the cold thing about that, was when I was getting back, finding everybody and trying to find my roots. And then so that happened, boom, changed everybody's life. And then my father, he was famous in you know, just famous guitar player, jazz player for B.B. King. So I guess that's where I get it from. So when I got back with him, it was cool. We were a lot alike, but I just felt like he didn't show me the important things in life, so I didn't appreciate. I mean, I had escaped all this, you know what I mean, the ghetto, being, you know, wanting to be robbed and killed and just taken out just because I'm fly, and then there was no dad. I mean, you know, so, I mean, then I remember my real dad, my adoptive dads being the ones who taught me and, you know, taught me how to ride bikes and played with me and gave me a lot of information. So as I got, when I met my biological father, I was just kind of like taken aback by how we can just say plop into somebody's life. Like, you'd be gone for a whole chunk of their life, and then you just plop, oh, this is it. Now you, I'm the leader. Follow me. Do what I, hold on. I didn't escape hell, the devil, fought the devil, climbed the ladder of chain of command. Come on, man. Who are you? You know, so, you know, it got like that, to where I just had to fall back and be like, you know what, man, until somebody respects me and values me, you know, and respects the people that I climbed the ladder with, that helped me survive. Because there's people who didn't make it. You know, people in my family, people in my circle who didn't make it to death, to mental health, lost it along the way. So I feel like anytime somebody comes into my life, they have to give me that respect that you weren't even here. And what about the people who were there? You want me just to let them go or just disregard them? That's not going to happen. So this is a whole part of valuing yourself and becoming the real kings and queens that we are, you know?
No doubt, no doubt. All right, so look, let's talk about your music. You talked about some of your influences when it comes to the music. Let's talk about you as an artist. When did you realize you had that voice, and what was the process that took you from that very first studio experience to being an award-winning singer?
Yeah, I've always known I've had it because, like I said, when I went off course for a while, I ended up in a penitentiary, no snitching, no homo. And, you know, I did that whole thing before I became a professor and gave my life to God. You know, like, I did a lot of time in the penitentiary as a ex-con, you know, full-time felon, you know, 10 plus straight years type stuff, you know. So I'm known up in there. So during my time up in there, I was singing and I had, like, tough songs, you know, so, and songs that had touched you. So everybody was already encouraging me to do that. So when I got out, I kind of stayed with it. And then, you know, I had to catch up when I got out. So I spent about 10 years catching up, you know, and then God blessed me not to, you know, get into no major trouble. So I end up investing into my music, and then as soon as Octavius Miller, that Seagram big brother and Too Short's cousin, Snoop Dogg's partner, he from the Bay, old school brother, who's many artists have established themselves. He's been like behind the scenes dude, you know. So Yeah, he nominated me immediately when he seen I was serious, and from there nobody's been able to take it. So I felt like I was gonna, you know, give him the respect back by, you know, putting my all into it and continue to put out, you know, raise the bar and pop music by giving it back to, you know, putting the ball back in our hands, because Octavius Miller, he's like, you know, your Black Panther dude from Oakland, California and all that. So he wanted to see that before he passed on, you know, so that was a good thing, him seeing us take that back like that. You know,
okay.
So, yeah.
Talk about some of your projects that you have in the marketplace that fans can check out.
Yeah, I have a book coming out soon that tells you my story, so you can know really why I act the way I act, and really what I did from the horse's mouth, you know, from the game to why my image is out there like that to why I decided to change, and you know, so. You know, the book is beautiful. Then I have several just went viral on, you know, been viral, but all my music is now went viral on Spotify. So I have several songs that you can, you know, you can choose from. And then the animal rescue, I have the animal rescue here where I save and rescue the, you know, cats and dogs. But in Africa, we're developing it to where, you know, it's like a, you know, preserve. So we have elephants and all your animals. You know, we're doing it big. So we're making moves, you know, from the government in Nigeria back to America.
Okay. All right, man. It seems like you've got your hands on a lot of things, like from, you know, man, writing a book, doing music. Man, you are everyday Renaissance man, and all these different things you do. What do you enjoy most?
I think I actually enjoy guiding and delivering discipline to the youth and to animals, you know, because I feel like, you know, that's what I lacked. Nobody was there to give it to me, and I wouldn't have lost a lot of friends or took the wrong turns that I took if I had the dominant person standing there lecturing me, you know. So I enjoy, you know, teaching hours, you know, and I enjoy rescuing hours. So that's like a calling for me, I feel.
Okay. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about this song, Nigerian Royalty, before we get into it. Tell me about it, the concept, who produced it, who wrote it, all the particulars.
I wrote it. I came up with the melody and the song, you know, everything, the arrangement. And then I'm working with a Nigerian producer who helped with the music. So, you know, us together, you know, we came up with the Nigerian Royalty, but I had it in my head, like the name, for a while. So it was just, you know, from what I was being taught from them, you know, I knew I wanted to deliver it, you know, to where both America and Nigeria would respect it, you know, feel like, okay, it ain't really like, you know, nobody's downing nobody here. So this is like the perfect mediation, you know, point.
Okay. Now, in going to find out about your Nigerian, what has been the most interesting thing that you've learned?
I've learned that in the tribe of Africa, they say that there's, you know, witchcraft and all that. That's everywhere, but it's more what's going on is Christianity and really believing in, you know, and praying, you know, for good. You don't pray for bad. So, you know, like I hear a lot of people, you know, praying your downfall, but even if you don't like somebody there, they don't pray on your downfall. They pray that you get strength to see, overcome, or something good, you know. So I learned that in the tribe, and then you know, also that you know, people there lived 110, 20 years still, you know, the kings and leaders of the tribe. So it's like high priests, and, you know, so that was all good information that I felt like was rich for us.
Okay. All right. My last question is, how has social media influenced how you market and promote your music to the people?
Oh, yeah. I think that that's the new way of getting the people. You know, because the game has changed. Obviously, we all know that. And so, you know, this is the new form of reaching someone. And, you know, I feel like, you know, this is the best platform out here to get to the children, the elders, and all demographic. So, yes, it's, but I come from the time where, you know, you had to get down and dirty, so I feel like this is a lot easier, and you know, it's not as hard as it was. So that's the plus in it.
All right, do me a favor. Let the world know how to find you when it comes on social media.
Yeah, you can look me up on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel, Antonio Blue. Check out the podcast where we touch on all different points of view, trying to bring awareness. It's just a information thing, you know. So, yeah, Antonio Blue, everywhere. Look for me, anywhere.
All right.
Antonio Blue.
All right, my G, do me a favor. Introduce your record to the world.
Yeah, yeah, this is Antonio Blue's Nigerian Royalty.
Appreciate it, my G.
Right on, bro.